Wednesday, everyone. Welcome in to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. 2 weeks in a row, you guys. We are so happy to be back in studio recording new episodes for all you CUSA fans out there. As always, I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and I am really excited about the interview that we have for you today. But before we get into that, if you're listening to this show right now and you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, what are you doing? Hey, listen, my anniversary was earlier this week, so if all of you would like to get me a nice anniversary present, you can go ahead and click that subscribe button right now and it would make my week. And while you're at it, go ahead and leave us a review and let us know how you're liking the show. And also, we've got social media profiles if you're into that sort of thing. You can go follow us on X and Instagram at CUSA Insider Pod. All righty then, let's get back to today's programming. As I mentioned in last week's episode, we are going to be interviewing the new head football coaches from around the league leading up to Football Media Day here in Frisco, Texas on July 23rd. So, first up, today we have a sit-down with the new head coach of the Blue Raiders, Coach Derek Mason. Coach Mason is obviously not new to coaching in college football with almost 30 years of experience, and he's not new to Central Tennessee either, with his last head coaching stop at Vanderbilt just a few miles up the road from MTSU. I think Coach Mason was a huge get for MTSU, if you're asking my personal opinion. I was super excited when they announced him as the next head coach back in December. I mean, he's familiar with the area, obviously, and the Volunteer State, which will really help them on the recruiting trail. He's a veteran coach. He knows how to run a locker room. He's very involved in the community and a real advocate for player development inside and outside of football. And not that this has any bearing on the product on the football field, but he's just a really nice guy. And I certainly enjoyed getting to sit down and talk to him this week. So enough of me blabbing on about it. Let's go ahead and get right into the interview. Here is our chat with Derek Mason, head football coach of the MTSU Blue Raiders. All right, everybody. Our guest today here on CUSA Insider is Middle Tennessee football head coach Derek Mason, a newcomer to Conference USA and to MTSU, but no stranger to the college football coaching landscape. Coach, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you had a great 4th of July holiday weekend.
You know, Sarah, I did. I was on my way back. Actually, I just got back from Italy.
Took my wife
overseas, and we had a chance to really enjoy ourselves, and it was a great trip. You know, we started in Rome, worked our way up to Pompeii or down to Pompeii, and then over to the Amalfi Coast, hit Florence, and then had a chance to get back to the continental United States. So it was a good trip.
You know, jealousy is not a great trait, but I try not to be jealous, but that I'm a little jealous of that trip. It sounds like you guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as you get a little older, what you start to understand is that that you need to make memories and enjoy the moments. And as much as I love my football team, as much as I love MTSU, I love my wife more, right? Happy wife, happy life.
Well, my husband and I actually just celebrated our anniversary yesterday, so I know that very well. Happy wife, happy life is a good motto to live by. I like it, Coach. Well, I won't spend too much time talking about the X's and O's of football today, because like I said before, we're going to save that for a couple of weeks at Football Media Day here in DFW. But I wanted to give our listeners a little bit of a chance to get to know you, Derek Mason, the man at the helm of the Blue Raider program. So obviously you are no stranger to that Middle Tennessee, Murfreesboro area, having spent several years up the road as the head coach of the Commodores at Vanderbilt. But what is it about Middle Tennessee in particular that got you excited to jump back into head coaching? Because I heard you in a previous interview of yours that you called this opportunity a winning lottery ticket. So could you expand a little bit on what you meant by that?
Well, I've been in the game for close to 30 years, right? And for me, it had to be the right place, right time, the right school, right situation. Enjoyed my time at Vanderbilt, and obviously had a chance to go to Auburn, Oklahoma State, then stepped away for a minute. But in order for me to come back, I needed to make sure that I had a program that was aligned with my philosophy and values. I wanted a program. I didn't need more than. I needed same as, right? Same as in terms of resourcing, same as in terms of ability to win and what it looks like. And I felt like I didn't have to go very far. The reality was the right situation came along at the right time. And MTSU happened to be that for me. Having faced that, this MTSU Blue Raider program under Coach Stocksdale, I mean, they were a good football team, well-coached. I think they're adequately resourced during those times, but they had as much talent as we did, like, to be honest. And people believe that there's a great distinction between a group of five in Power Four football, and the reality is it's on any given Saturday. And I feel like this program on any given Saturday can go play anybody, beat anybody, any place, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you take a look at what Coach Stocksdale did even just as recently as last year against one of those Power Four teams that you're talking about. You've mentioned it before in some previous interviews, but Coach Stocksdale really did lay a nice groundwork for you. Talk a little bit about the resourcing and the landscape that you already walked into there. Just expand on that a little bit more for me.
I can remember being at Vanderbilt in 2016. I got there in 14, but in 16, hearing MTSU announced, facilities changes, resourcing, and sometimes there's a big time lapse between when things get announced and when things actually get done. And right now, what I've come into is a program that's well on its way. We'll move into a new facility, not this season, but next summer, and that's great. That's the price of progress. But I think what I walked into was the leadership of Chris Masalim, here is our AD, Dr. McPhee, a president who understands the college athletics landscape, not just the football landscape itself, but the college athletics landscape, as somebody who truly understands where we need to go, who we are, and they value education. All those things were super important for me. And when I look at this conference, the conference has gone through some changes, but I think these changes, the realignment, provides MTSU opportunity to go be what it should be, which is a powerhouse in this. I think this much, right? There are legacy teams in this conference, and MTSU is one of those legacy teams. I know, and you look up and you've seen what Rich Rod's done at Jack State. You look at what Tyson's done up in Western Kentucky. You look at what's happening over there with Jamie, they're like at Liberty. And I know what Jerry Keel did at New Mexico State. I think MTSU has been around the block here in Conference USA for a long time. And I think what they know and understand is exactly who they are. And we're a blue collar brand. We're a blue blood in this conference. And now what it's time for us to do is step up and compete for the crown.
Yeah, I hear you talk about the blue collar mentality, the blue blood. You just got lucky that you ended up at a blue school, didn't you? Because that would have been a little bit harder to sell, possibly, if you were at a school with a red color. But talk to me some more about the Murfreesboro community, not just the athletic department, but the university, the fans, just the people that are surrounding campus there. You are obviously very passionate about giving back to the community that you are in. And so why is that something that is so important to you as a head coach?
Well, I think your college experience as an athlete should be more than just the games that you play in the classrooms that you step into. It should be the community that you sort of grow up in as well, right? I mean, that shapes as much of who you are as your experiences. And, MTSU is a welcoming community. The Middle Tennessee area is not just Murfreesboro, it's everything from top to bottom. So if you want to go from Cascade or Shelbyville all the way to North Nashville, there's a lot of towns in between, and those people bleed, red, blue, red, or blue. And so for me, to see these people, to coach teams against MTSU, to have been in the public and sort of been out, whether it's Juneteenth or whether we're talking about working in the Boys and Girls Clubs and like spending time around these people, what you know and understand, they're extremely passionate about their football, no different than App State, no different than JMU, no different than Boise. This place, I believe, is a gold mine because it has such a fertile group of really community participants that are generationally MTSU, and that's pretty cool. So it's a blue collar place with blue collar people. It's farm to table. It's first gen. It's all those things that I grew up with, and so I can see myself. I saw myself being part of this, and so I'm working hard to intertwine our football team with this community so that these guys understand we're bigger than the games that we play. It's a community, man, that wants us to be successful.
Awesome. Well, Coach, so I did some prep work for this interview, obviously, and I was doing a little bit of background research on you, and I was honestly really surprised to see that you have 29 years of coaching experience in college and in the NFL as well. I mean, you do not look old enough to have that much coaching experience. So I love to go back, though, and look at all of the places that you've been and the positions that you've coached and head coaches that you've served under. So I'm going to ask you what probably a tough question, but if you could pinpoint one person or one place that really had a real impact on you and the way that you are head coaching now today, what would that place or who would that person have been?
You know what? That is a really tough question. I think I would shortchange my experience is and the people who have helped me get here by just saying one place. What I can tell you is every place I've been, you know, it has given me a strong opportunity to grow, to be better, to challenge myself, and to really dig deep into the things that I say I believe. I believe in an education because I'm a public school education guy, and coaches helped me get there, right? But, you know, as I look back, I can say, you know, Tom Gabb, when I was at Bucknell University, was an exceptional man, a man of principle. I can say, you know, Jim Harbaugh, okay, man, in my experiences, you know, at Stanford, like with Jim and what we were able to accomplish there, I can look back and go, Frank Solich at Ohio University. Frank picked me up when I was without a job. I was a receivers coach at Mexico State University, and Frank Solich gave me a call, and I was a non-Nebraska guy. I was the only non-Nebraska guy on that staff, and we went to Ohio University, and we changed the trajectory of that program so much so I think Frank went to 18 bowl games in 20 years. You know, man, but it was the foundation by which Frank did it. He had been a head coach. He was a man of integrity. He won in Nebraska, and he did it at Ohio University. And then I got to give a lot of credit to David Shaw. David Shaw and I worked together at Idaho State in 1997, where he was a GA. And I was the running backs coach, but we were like brothers. And David, when he took over at Stanford, funny story, he said, Mace, look, I want you to be the defense coordinator, assistant head coach. And I turned David down. I said, nah, Dave, I want you to be successful. I don't think I can do it. And so he said, okay. And his dad came down to my office. Willie Shaw came down to my office, and he read me a new one, and he said, I dare you not to take that job. And so I had to go back and beg David for 2 days to take that job, and that job changed the trajectory of my college football coaching career, because as a defensive coordinator, assistant head coach at Stanford, to go Fiesta Bowl, back-to-back Rose Bowls, it allowed me to have an opportunity to go be a head coach. So I owe so many people. I've never done it by myself. I've always been, you know, one who never needed to be the smartest person in the room. I just wanted to be in the room full of smart people working hard. And that's really what my calling card is. I work hard. I think I'm collaborative, not combative, and I want to win.
Awesome. Well, I mean, you talk about that breadth of knowledge that you have over the last 29 years and all of that experience, but college athletics and college football in particular changing a ton these days. I mean, over the last 10 years, but even over the last year. So in your first team meeting with the players, you had a little quote that I just loved regarding the transfer portal. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. It's just green. And so I wanted to see, like, what is it about or what is it like to have to adapt to the ever-changing changing landscape of college football with the portal, NIL, the expanded college football playoff. I mean, even being specific with Conference USA, playing games in the middle of the week. So how do you adapt to things like that?
You know, I think that's what the year away from the game really allowed me to do. It allowed me to assess, okay, where's the moving target, right? I mean, the landscape is always changing. It's always moving. And being in those prep meetings, looking behind the scenes with ESPN a year ago, the thing that I got a chance to do is just talk with coaches, talk with my friends, talk with Kirby, Mark Stoops, you know, being able to talk with Josh Heupel and just, you know, like have one-on-one conversations. I mean, it was like therapy for me, like to be honest, just to hear where guys were and how they were dealing with, you know, NIL in this space and just wanting to make sure that they were doing right by their student athletes by not shortchanging the educational experience, but by being able to provide resourcing that these student athletes, you know, surely needed and how to keep a locker room, you know, intact and making sure that you make the main thing the main thing. I mean, if this is not the NFL, and I believe everybody wants it to be that, but, you know, there's still an educational component that matters because education is more expensive than it's ever been. And believe me, when we talk about NIL, NIL is not for everybody, right? So just getting players at this group of five level to understand, look, the soft skills, the ability to step on the field, the ability to transition, to be counted on, to be disciplined about what you do, to be trained versus untrained. These things are skill sets that travel. You know, the money, what you buy at 22, you generally don't have when you're 30. So, like, let's try to make sure we can keep the main thing the main thing. And I think, like, those talks with other coaches, watching behind the scenes and paying attention to the landscape, I think has really given me a new leash on what I have to do with my program. You know, we talk about NIL, but we don't talk about it like in the way that other people do. I'm not going to lose a player at MTSU to another Conference USA school because of NIL. But hey, man, if somebody's going to pay you in the back of a dump truck to pay you, well, then go get it. That's part of my job is to help you get from where you are to where you want to be. So I'm not afraid to take on, you know, what that is, but I'm also doing a service to parents by trying to give a better product back to parents than the one they drop off. And I think in doing that, sometimes just telling the truth and being truthful about the journey is what I do.
That's awesome. As a parent, I have young kids, but as a parent, I just love to hear that. And actually, you kind of like led me right into my next question. So one thing that I loved hearing from you when I was listening to some of your previous interviews is that you are a proud girl dad. Yeah. You love your two beautiful daughters. I have a daughter of my own, but I also have a son. And so I'm curious, how is being a girl dad putting that much more emphasis for you on pouring into these men that are in your program to make them great husbands and fathers later in life?
For me personally, growing up with a single mom and just, you know, help knowing what she did and how she did it and then having a stepfather and knowing and understanding the structure, you know, provided windows of opportunities for me. We're trying to make sure that we don't get it wrong for young men. Nowadays is probably as tough a time to live in because all eyes are on you and what you do and how you do it. And so just making sure, I mean, having girls helps me understand that, I mean, it's important. I know how I want my daughters to be treated, okay? And so I try to make sure that, you know, I try to instill some of those things in the players, in our conversations, and what we talk about, what healthy relationships look like. I think you have to do all these things nowadays. Everybody thinks it's about the ball. The ball's the easiest part of what we do. I think sometimes the toughest thing is that all these student athletes come from different places. And so when they get to a program, your program just can't be this machine. It needs to be this family that provides core values, okay, that sort of travel from place to place, day to day, and really from interaction to interaction so that these young people know and understand that, you know what, you're valued and valuable. But what you have to do is continue to build your brand by being a good person.
Love that. Well, we talked a lot about locker room talk over these last two questions. So is there one thing in your locker room this year that you are really trying to like hammer home with your guys, a quote or a saying that you guys are like putting your whole season on top of?
Yeah, I think the idea of just being physical, tough, and intelligent, right? The PTI principles for me, I mean, it matters. At places, it's been relentless. But you know what? The idea of the mental and physical toughness that it takes, you know, to be a student athlete, the level of discipline that it takes, you have to make choices. You know, our actions have consequences, right? And so I'm getting our guys to understand that every day is a job interview. You know, I mean, you walk into it and, you know, showing up is the biggest part of the battle. But once you're there, let's do good work. And let's do it in a way that represents exactly who you are. That's what gets you, in championship games. That's what allows you to lead a championship life. That's what allows you to have championship relationships. Is not just doing the work. Do good work. It's gonna be hard. Okay, I mean, there's gonna be some sacrifice to it, right? But if you can be just physically invested, if you can be tough about the things that come at you and understand that every day is not going to be, you know, a win. Some days you're going to lose, but if you take the losses and stack the losses, what it provides is intelligence, and that intelligence can take you a long way if you let it.
Love to hear that. That's awesome. Okay, one last football-ish question for you before we end it with a fun one. So you talked a little bit about Conference USA in general with the realignment and some of the coaches in the leagues and what they've been able to do over the last couple of years. What is it about Conference USA for you that excites you to be able to play in this league this year?
Yeah, I think this league has taken the approach that we want to be big, and we want to do big things. We want to make sure these weekday games, that's big. I mean, that's branding, right? And there's a tough element like to that, right? Because sometimes you have to play, three games in 13, 14 days, right? I mean, who they have a hard time doing that in the NFL. So I think how we're branding ourselves, you know, what we're doing in Conference USA, what the leadership looks like, it's attracting really good coaches. Those coaches that I mentioned to you, as well as the coaches that I did have a chance to talk about, I mean, all these coaches are good coaches. All these coaches have winning track records or have won, okay? And so they know what it looks like. So there must be something that Conference USA is doing right to attract, you know, the caliber of coach, as well as, you know, some of the brand pieces that they're putting together in terms of the commercialization of where we're trying to go. Again, I was with ESPN a year ago, and I saw a lot of things. And the enticement of not just the university, but the brand of Conference USA and what I think it's going to do going forward, I think is something that's going to be unique and special.
Awesome. All right, Coach. Well, I told you I'd end it on a sort of a fun question. So we have a segment on the podcast that we like to call CUSA Eats, okay? So I know you haven't been in Murfreesboro, but for like 7 or 8 months now, hopefully some people have taken you out for some nice meals to get you something to eat. But if myself or any of our fans visit the borough this year, are there maybe a couple of your favorite spots that we could go grab a bite to eat? And what would we get there if we were to visit?
Well, there's three spots that come to mind. I mean, I'll start with Slick Pig. I mean, you can't come to the borough and not grab some barbecue, right? So I think heading over to Slick Pig is right off campus. It's a Murfreesboro staple. You got to get it. Domenico's is one of my favorite lunch spots, right? Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love a great sandwich? I'm talking about these sandwiches are different. The bread is different. Murph, who's one of the group of five guys, he owns Domenico's, and he played quarterback at MTSU, so I'm plugging my man. But I'm telling you, the food is off the chain. There's maybe 15 sandwiches like on the menu, and there's one for everybody. And then you can grab some sweet tea with that, some fruit tea. So I like fruit tea. I'm a fruit tea guy, so I'm with that. And then if you're going to grab dinner, man, let's go Alley on Main. Anytime you get downtown in Murfreesboro, stop by Alley on Main. You may need a reservation, but believe me, you'll enjoy the the food, the ambiance, and the company you keep.
Awesome. Well, Coach, I have not been back to campus since you guys hosted the CUSA Football Championship in 2018, but maybe, just maybe, you guys can run it back and do it again this year. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Coach, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you and the Blue Raiders in action this year. Excited to get to meet you in person here in a couple of weeks at Football Media Day here in DFW. So thank you so much again for joining us today.
Thank you. Take care. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks again to Coach Mason for taking time out of his busy schedule to join us here on the show, right off of a trip to Italy with his lovely wife, which I am sure he was jet lagged from, but he still took the interview anyway, and we surely appreciated that. All right, folks, one new head football coach down, two more to go. Next week, we've got a fun one for you, a rivalry podcast. The Battle of I-10, Head Coaches Edition. We'll have two interviews for you in next week's episode with UTEP head football coach Scotty Walden and then Tony Sanchez entering his first year as the head coach of the New Mexico State Aggies. If you haven't already, you better go ahead and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening so you'll never miss a new episode of CUSA Insider, and give us a follow on social media at CUSA Insider Pod. We are doing our best to bring you new episodes weekly, so be sure and be on the lookout for those. Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We will see you again same time next week. You've been listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.